Chapter 8. Doris Klein ushered them into her home after they knocked and led them to the rear lanai. She was in her late 50s with permed hair and too much makeup, at least to Decker's mind.
But what the hell do I know?
Klein had on a pair of white slacks and an orange shirt with the sleeves half rolled up, revealing taut, tanned forearms, mottled over with coppery sunspots. She was skinny for her 5'8" height, and the woman was a smoker, which might have been a factor in her thinness. A pack of Camels and a purple Zippo lighter sat on the table on the screened-in lanai, which overlooked the backyard. Beyond that were some slender palm trees and compact shrubbery. A pool was situated in front of them. From the smell, it was apparently filled with salt water. Through the screens enclosing the space, Decker noted a well-trod path down to the beach, with the dull gray stretch of the gulf just beyond that. Seagulls swooped and dove across the clear sky, looking for things no human could see. The house was smaller than Julia Cummins's place and hadn't been kept up as well. The stucco was damaged in several areas, and the outdoor heat pumps, heavily rusted from the heavy salt air, had drawn Decker's notice. The lawn and landscaping hadn't seen much attention either. He didn't know if that was simply the result of indifference or a lighter wallet than the judge had had.
"Were you the only one in your house last night?" asked Decker.
Klein blew smoke from her nose and nodded as she reached for a glass of what looked like orange juice, but Decker smelled the alcohol in it.
"I was. I'm divorced. My kid's grown and off. I don't go out much because my ex left me with lots of bills and not enough alimony. He had the better lawyer, unfortunately." "Can you take us through this morning?"
asked White, her eyes widening, apparently at the woman so casually revealing this personal info.
"I came out here around 9, saw the rear door was open, and that seemed strange. At that hour of the morning, Julia had usually long since left for court, and she really never used that door. She just went right from the house to the garage."
"Did you know her well?" asked Decker.
"We were neighbors and good friends for years." "I'm sure you're upset about what happened,"
interjected White. Klein tapped ash into a crystal bowl, her lips firmly set.
"I'm not a crier, but I'm very distraught that Julia is dead. I cared for her a lot. We were good friends. We would vent to each other. But I've seen a ton of shit in my life. The best defense is just to keep it at arm's length. At least that's my take."
"So you investigated and found the body of the man in the study," said Decker.
"Scared the crap out of me. I ran right out and called the police. They were here in maybe 3 minutes. There's a station not that far from here."
"You knew the dead man?"
said White.
"I'd seen him at Julia's. I never spoke with him."
"Did the judge discuss with you why she needed security?"
"Not really, no. I guess all judges get threats and stuff. Hell, these days, who doesn't? Look at social media. I could post something about saving orphans, and I'd be attacked as a sex trafficking pedophile. People are such animals online."
"But did she actually say it was because she had received threats that she had the bodyguard?" asked Decker.
"No, I don't believe she did. I guess I just assumed."
"Last night, did you hear or see anything?"
asked White.
"Say between midnight and 2, or even before or after that? Flash of headlights turning into the drive next door, gunshot, screams or raised voices, sounds of a fight?"
She shook her head and sharply cleared her throat.
"I use a CPAP machine at night, and I take an Ambien. I wasn't going to hear anything."
"You have an alarm system?" asked Decker.
"Oh, sure, but I don't usually turn it on."
"Why not?"
asked White curiously.
"Well, we have a gate and 24-hour security."
Decker said, "So did the judge, plus her own private bodyguard. Clearly wasn't enough."
Klein looked less sure of herself and tapped ash into the bowl.
"I guess I see your point."
"How about the neighbor on the other side of the judge?" asked Decker.
"The Perlmans, they're in New York. They left last week and we'll be back tomorrow."
They knew Cummins? Asked Andrews.
Sure, we were all friends. Maya, that's Mrs. Perlman, was a retired lawyer, so she and Julia had that connection. Trevor is her husband. It's her second marriage. Oh, and I think they were the ones who told Julia about the protection service she ended up using. Why was that?
Asked White.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think the Perlmans had used them in the past. I don't know why. You'd have to ask them.
Decker and White exchanged a glance. Do you know the judge's ex and their son Tyler? Asked Decker.
Yes, Barry and Tyler Davidson. Cummins was Julia's maiden name. She kept it after they were married, saved her some paperwork after the divorce, and she didn't have to change it back. They all lived next door until the breakup. Barry still lives nearby. When I was married, we would all go out together. After our divorces, Julia and I would still go out, or else have a girls' night in. We'd either cook or do takeout with white wine and Hallmark movies. Although lately, she seemed a bit different. How so?
Asked White.
Over the last year or so, she wanted to go out more. Dinner, dancing, hitting the club scene. She was dressing, well, how shall I say, a little younger than she had been. Don't get me wrong, she looked fabulous. She was a decade younger than me. She seemed to be having fun. Why not?
Her lips started to twitch and tears suddenly clustered at the corners of her eyes.
And they had shared custody of Tyler,
said White quietly. She dabbed at her eyes with her hand.
Yes, one week on and off, but Tyler will be going to college in about a year and a half, so it would have ended then. With Julia gone, I guess it ends right now.
Klein set her drink down and stubbed out her Camel. She put a hand to her face and let out a sob.
I'm sorry. I think it just hit me that she's really gone.
White produced some Kleenex from a pack in her pocket and passed them across. Klein wiped her eyes.
Thank you.
She collected herself and continued in a husky voice.
Julia was very nice, very caring. After my divorce, she was so supportive.
She talked to you about any problems lately? You ever see any strange cars around or people you didn't recognize loitering? Asked Decker. Klein shook her head and finished her drink in one gulp.
No, nothing like that. Again, this is a gated community, so they keep the riffraff out, or at least they're supposed to.
You never really talked about the bodyguard? Seems strange between close friends. She lit another Camel and blew fresh smoke out.
Look, I tried to ask her about that a couple of times, but she shut it down. I respected that, so I didn't push it. I just figured it was crap someone in her position had to put up with.
To confirm, she actually told you about the guard, but didn't say why he was there? Asked Decker.
That's right.
When was the last time you saw Barry or Tyler? Asked Andrews.
Tyler was here last week when he was staying with his mom. Barry I saw about 3 weeks ago. He had come by for some reason, maybe to pick up Tyler. How does Tyler usually get here from his dad's place?
Asked White.
Did his parents drive him back and forth? He has his own car, a BMW convertible, and a gate pass, so he usually drives himself. But sometimes his father brings him, or Julia would drive him back to Barry's condo. A couple times I've seen an Uber drop him off, and he has a bike, too. It's not far, a couple of miles.
So that's the last time you saw Barry, about 3 weeks ago? Asked Decker.
No, now that I think about it, I saw him at the clubhouse, about a week or so ago.
The Harbor Club? Asked Decker.
No, we have a clubhouse here and a golf course. Very challenging. Do you play?
No. Why was he there?
Well, he was playing golf, 9 holes, and then he had lunch. I said hello to him. So he's still a member?
Asked White.
Oh, yes. He retained all of that even after the divorce. In fact, it might have been part of the divorce for all I know. What does he do for a living? He runs his own company, investments, that sort of thing.
does quite well. And Julia's house is beautiful. Pool and big lanai. I have that too on a smaller scale, but I don't have the money to really keep it up anymore.
She added bitterly.
I'm going to have to downsize at some point.
Was he the major breadwinner in the marriage?
Asked White.
I wouldn't say that. Before she was a judge, Julia was a high-powered lawyer, made a ton of money. And she also came from serious New York money, trust funds and all that. Her father was a Wall Street bigwig. She got millions from him in inheritance. She was an only child. She wasn't even 50 yet. And now she's dead.
Klein shook her head, her expression one of misery. Do you know who the beneficiary is of her estate? Asked Andrews. Klein refocused.
I would guess Tyler, but I don't know for certain. He's their only child. I can't believe she'd leave a dime to Barry. You'd have to check with her lawyer to be certain.
Do you know who that is?
Asked White.
Duncan Trotter. I know because he handles my stuff, too. Julia recommended him, in fact. His office is on Pelican Way, off the main street in town. He can tell you everything about that.
She sat back.
Anything else?
White exchanged glances with Andrews, who shook his head. Then she looked at Decker, who was staring at the sky through the screened roof.
Decker, you got anything else for Ms. Klein?
Why the divorce? Asked Decker.
Mine?
No, Julia and Barry.
Klein shrugged.
Why does anyone get divorced?
That's what I'm asking.
There were issues, just like any marriage. Barry could tell you more, but it would just be from his perspective.
Then what was your perspective? You said you were good friends. When married, you all socialized as couples. You shared very personal information. You must have an opinion, said Decker.
Why do you care about that?
Not to be too blunt, but most wives who are murdered are killed by their husbands. Same holds true for ex-wives and ex-husbands.
Klein pursed her lips. Her look was clear. She did not want to go there.
Julia was as straight as they come. Barry? Well, he cut corners.
How?
He just wasn't much of a rule follower. Can you give us an example?
Asked White.
They were audited about 5 years ago. Turns out, Barry got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and they had to pay hefty fines, and Barry almost went to jail. Julia had only just gotten on the bench. If that had come out before, she probably wouldn't have been confirmed. She filed for divorce shortly afterward. And she was upset?
Asked White.
More like livid. I think that hastened the end of what was already a troubled marriage. Why already troubled?
Asked White.
Barry never grew up. He wanted to be a college frat boy forever, goofy and boozing and just having fun. Did he cheat on her?
Asked White.
Not that I know. I actually believe he loved her and only her.
Andrews said, Okay, anything else, Decker? Decker had looked up at the sky again. When he didn't answer, White put her notebook away and rose.
Well, thank you for your time. We'll probably have follow-up questions. I just want you to catch whoever did this. We want that, too.
Andrews rose and looked down at Decker. You ready, Decker? We're heading out. Decker lowered his gaze to Klein.
Who told you the judge was dead?
What?
Said Klein, looking surprised.
You saw Draymond's body in the study, but you didn't see the judge's body upstairs.
That's right.
Did the police come over here and tell you?
No, I just assumed. I mean, if Julia had been alive, she would have come over here. I would have seen her out in the yard. She would have called the police herself last night.
So you just assumed she was home last night?
Yes, that was why the guard was there, I presumed.
Decker nodded and rose.
Okay.
I'm not sure I appreciate the allegations in your questions,
Klein said irritably.
That's okay. People never do.